Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, this is Jackie Cation, and you are about to listen to the Dork Forest since 2006. And it is on iTunes, of course, where you may have received it. You may have gotten it at dorkforest.com. Feel free to review it on iTunes. We are part of the All Things Comedy Network, allthingscomedy.com, where my new hour special, This Will Make an Excellent Horcrux, is available for $5 download. Knock yourselves out. My website, JackieCation.com, has a player if you want to just listen to it and you don't want to do iTunes. And JackieCation.com has everything. It has my stand-up schedule. It has a merch page where you can get Dork Forest t-shirts and even order a Dork Forest hoodie if you like. All of the shirts are made in America because while I'm willing to wear clothing that are made by toddlers, I'm unwilling to sell clothing made by toddlers. The hoodie, special ordered, for some reason, still made in the Philippines. I don't know why. Possibly because they're super cozy, and I don't sell that many of them, but I should work on that. Anyway, there's a chance to donate to the Dork Forest. If you enjoy the Dork Forest, feel free to donate. $100 a year makes you a super fan, and you could do that in one chunk of $100, or you could break it up however you want, because I have not made that easy for you. It would be $8.33 a month if you want to do it. You could also just order stuff if you want Dork Forest t-shirts or CDs or DVD. I have 3 CDs out and 1 DVD, and you can order all of them. You could order a t-shirt, you could order a hoodie, and that will also support the show, and I totally appreciate that. Yeah, just so you know, the DVD of the Horcrux is Friday Second Show. That is the video. And the CD is Saturday Second Show. I don't know. I didn't videotape that one, but I like that set better. So that is the CD. The DVD is approximately 56 minutes long, and the CD, about 40, 48. So they're different sets, but they're the same material. And it's weird, but I like it. The credits. Let's credit the people that make this show possible, quite honestly. We have Mike Rickberg, who sang the intro song and composed the intro song and sings it with his girlfriend, Sarah Cohen, and he will sing Mexican Hat Dance at the end of this. The audio is fixed every week, and the teasers are created by Mr. Patrick Brady, friend of the show. Vilmos does my website, JackieCation.com. So if you're looking for someone to do your website, go to JackieCation.com, scroll down, and click on that link. All right, let's do this. Enjoy. At RBC Wealth Management, social responsibility starts at the top. As a part of the Royal Bank of Canada, RBC has been recognized among the world's financial, social, and environmental corporate leaders. Our sense of responsibility extends to our reputation for putting clients' interests first. My personal commitment is to help you achieve your financial goals by also considering sustainable and responsible investing strategies. To learn more, visit www.darlacashian.com. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC. Member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
It's a live Dork Forest. Traditionally, Kristen McGuire, here at ACON 25 in Dallas, Texas, I can usually get 22 people in any city in the world to come and see me do this show. But we're last minute. You've been incredibly kind as to come beyond the Dork Forest.
No problem.
Well,
now
you're taking
owe me
it
a
well.
Favor.
Exactly. You will get a free Dork Forest t-shirt.
Sweet.
For your trouble. And Bart brought Dove Dark chocolates.
Nice.
With a dark, dark promises on the inside, where I promise not to eat while we're doing this. But why don't you, Chris McGuire, tell people, it's at Chris Comics with a K.
Uh-huh.
For Twitter. And then what's your website?
ChrisComics.com.
With a K, it turns out.
I like to keep the same brand. I'm branding.
You do voice work, so why don't you read that in the darkest voice possible? Make it evil. Make it evil. Make it evil.
Your smile is your best accessory.
Okay, I like it. A little bit of Bane, a little bit of something. All right. So let's talk. We're a quorum. We have 7 people here. Let's do this. Let's have a dork forest. It's dork on dork dialogue. Here's what happens.
Yeah.
We start talking about what you like. You, Kristen McGuire.
I like so much.
Excellent. then we're in business. Here's the thing. You are a voice actress and a manga artist and a comic book writer, and all of these things are happening in your life. But when not doing that, what do you collect bees? What do you do? What's happening? Are you busy watching anime?
I mean, is all that not enough for you?
That is not enough for me. No, it's all good, but we are at an anime convention, yes. I don't know anything about anime. I have seen the Miyazaki movies. I have watched some Dragon Ball Z.
Those are good starts.
That is exactly where... Now, you mentioned something before the show began. Some people raised their hand. What was the name of that program?
Attack on Titan.
Attack on Titan. That was a Vonnegut book. There was a Titan in the title of a Vonnegut book. That's the only part of Titan I know about. What is Attack on Titan, the anime?
You know, it's... I'm not even really sure what the storyline's about.
Because
I'm watching it. I'm watching the dub version in support of all of my fellow voice actors. Because I know several people that are... They're
working
friends of mine that are working
it.
And I'm all like, yeah, friends, you guys are awesome. So I've been kind of watching along with them. So I don't know like as much. I think I watched like 7 episodes before it got dubbed, and I heard it was going to get dubbed, and I was like, no more. No more sub. From now on, I got to support my English friends.
Right. So are there monsters?
So what it is, it's like these, it's kind of like medieval people, I guess. And they've been hiding behind these gigantic walls for like 100 years. And there's these gigantic, sexless, man-eating, grinning titans. Like, some of them look like members of like Jerry Garcia. There's a Jerry Garcia titan, you know.
It's going to be great. We're
going to share. So anyway, while she's getting a new mic. So that's kind of what it's about. And then one day, like out of nowhere, this big, huge titan all pops down and he's like, Papa! And he punches through the wall and all the smaller but still huge titans go through the wall. And everyone's like, we're going to die! And then this kid sees his mom get eaten and he's all like, I'm going to have an unhealthy vendetta for revenge. And like a lot of people die, but for some reason this kid takes it really personally. And he's just like, I'm going to kill all the titans.
Okay, so very Batman. He
yes.
sees his mom killed, and so he's going to... And titans, of course, are the ancient Greek titans, didn't they? There was Cronus, and then there were
yeah.
the titans.
So I don't know if it has... Yeah.
They came before Cronus.
I don't think it has any relation. They're just these giant... And they don't eat because
Japanese?
They're hungry. Yeah, they don't eat because they're hungry. They just eat because they're like, we like flesh. You know, and... Yeah.
Oh, they're giant.
And humans. They're like impossibly hard to kill. Like they have to use this maneuver gear and like fly all around. And then like you chop off this like tiny piece of their neck and they die. But if you chop off their head, they're like, new head. And I don't get it at all. But hey.
But you love it anyway. You're on board.
Yeah, I like it. I can make some Attack on Titan jokes.
It's extremely okay.
It's kind of like Game of Thrones. Like you can't get attached to anybody. You're like, I really like you, guy, and you're like, oh, you got eaten.
Okay, I like the idea that that if you just do a tiny bit of somebody's, like, you just have to hit them in exactly the right spot. There's like an off button
it's,
on
it's
them.
It's like an
kind
Achilles
of thing.
Heel, basically.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Like, I guess you could have chopped off Achilles' foot and he would have still lived, but they didn't, so.
I think it was a PlayStation 2 game, wasn't it? Stretch Panic? PlayStation 1? Oh, Shadow of the Colossus, that was the beautiful one. And Stretch Panic was beautiful, but that was the one where you had to run around and pull the demons' ponytails. They were giant-breasted lady demons, and if you knocked them off these spinning discs, their boobs would flatten out and turn into helicopter dealy-bobs and fly them back up to the disc.
It's funny you say that because that's the only way to kill me. So, she's going to go through all of the mics and soon we'll just have to cuddle up next to each other and share this one. You know what? I think mine's plugged in. Maybe that's what the problem is. Anyway, so yeah, Santa Claus Attack on Titan. No more cookies for that guy.
Welcome to the Dork Forest, you guys, by the way. This is a podcast, Dork on Dork Dialogue.
We're live.
We're live. We are live. It's not really live. We're not really streaming at this moment. If you go to dorkforest.com, you can, what it is I talk to people about what they love a lot. And so in this case, I'm sitting here with Krista McGuire and we're talking about anime, and let's talk about manga, because you clearly enjoy manga.
I do.
And, how did you get into manga?
We're just gonna share. Yes, we'll pass it back and forth. I always loved comics. Even as a kid, I was a huge fan of like Calvin and Hobbes and Garfield. And my dream as like a little kid was like to one day have like a syndicated comic in the Sunday newspaper. And my very first comic strip was about this skunk named TJ, and he lived in the zoo, and the other animals picked on him because he smelled bad. So
it ain't right.
I was like eight. I was like eight, and I was like, "This is genius!" And
this is good writing.
Yeah.
So, but what did you? When did you get into manga?
So, I never really got into like superhero comics. Like, I thought they looked cool, but to me, they were so boring. Like, the print was tiny, and I didn't know what was going on. Just some muscly dudes running around in spandex. So, one day, my brother brought home a Japanese anime, and of course, it was subbed because there wasn't a lot of stuff dubbed back then. Or if it was, like, you know, it took like 8 months to get it. And it was RG Veda. And I remember looking at it and I'm like, whoa, that little chick just went all like demon and she's got these gigantic eyes and she blinks and like a tsunami happens somewhere. And I just thought that was so cool. And so immediately I ran upstairs and was like, I'm going to draw like that. And I didn't know it was anime. Like, I didn't know what it was. I just thought it was pretty. And I was like 10 or 11 or 12 at the time. I don't even remember.
And what was it called? R something?
RG Veda. It's by Clamp. RG, Veda,
right.
Like V-E-D-A. There you go. Yeah. Some of their early work.
That's what this is, but me. Here's what I've come to Akon for, is to learn about anime, and to learn from the beginning. RG Veda. What year is this? What decade?
80s? 90s. Yeah.
All right. And it was dubbed? And it was
dubbed? No, it was subbed. You had to read it in Japanese, you know. It was subtitled.
Subbed being the shortened version of the word subtitled?
Yes.
Thank you very much. In Australia, they use the word doco for documentaries. Back to you.
Good to know. I'm going to start using that. I'm going to bring it to America.
Okay, so what was the next one that you... So you saw anime and then you wanted to draw manga.
I wanted to draw it, but I wasn't quite ready to draw like manga comics yet because I hadn't seen them. So I just started drawing like anime pictures, and of course I drew it, and I was like 12, and I'd never drawn anime before, and I was like, this is awful, I'm never gonna draw again, and I threw it away and cried.
And that's the end of the story.
And that's the end of the story.
And that is the last time Krista McGuire drew anything. It's very sad. If you go to Chris Comics, it's one white page of the internet after another white page of the internet. So then what happened?
So I thought, you must have to be Asian to draw this stuff. And obviously, I am unqualified.
Fantastic.
Other than being short. And I didn't think that really counted.
A step in the right direction. When you're 12, you would think, I have to be Asian or short. Or, why don't I have brown hair? Anyway, go.
So I was on the internet and I was like, I found this artist called Julie Dillon and I was like, whoa, she's totally American sounding because her name's Julie and she draws anime and it looks good. Julie Dillon, that's right, just
Julie
like that.
Dillon.
And so I started looking at her stuff and she had tutorials. So I started following the tutorials and every day it got a little bit better. And then my friend introduced me to Ranma One Half, the manga.
Ranma?
Ranma.
All right, spell that.
R-A-N.
R-A-N.
Yeah. M-A.
M-A.
One half.
In a half.
I'm just going to give you a quick lowdown on how this works. This guy falls into this cursed spring, and every time he gets splashed with water, he turns into a girl. A sexy girl. Because anime. And his dad turns into a panda, and everybody has fallen in these springs. And this guy always comes out, this little Chinese guy, and he's like, oh, no, so sad. You fall in spring of drowned pig. Very sad story. 100 years ago, pig fell in spring and drowned. And now whoever fall in spring take on form of pig.
Wow.
Yeah, and like there's like 80 of them, and they don't like barricade it off or anything. People are always swimming in them and stuff. So...
Nobody puts up a sign. Hey, this is the pig spring. This is where things are going to go wrong for you. Why have I not been reading manga since I was 12? Because this sounds hilarious. Go for it.
Well, that's what I thought. I thought manga is so much more entertaining than American comics. So I was like, I want to draw manga. And then, of course, I started seeing Sailor Moon. And I'm like, oh, cool. Like, she fights evil with, like, moon power and love and friendship. And I want to have a special cat come to me out of nowhere and be like, you're chosen. And it didn't happen. I was really disappointed.
It is very disappointing when you don't get to go to Hogwarts when you're 11. It is one of the big disappointments. I think I wasn't even anywhere near 11 and I wanted to go to Hogwarts. And I was like, really? No letter. No letter. Still nothing on the letter. And then, but when I was 11, I don't know why this is coming up, but here it is. I wanted a dog named Sean, which, the dog's name was Sean, turns out. But I was 11 and I didn't know the word Sean in Irish was spelled S-E-A-N. So. It was from the Big Red Jim Cahilgard books.
Yeah, I read. Oh my god, I loved every animal book, and that was. I did that too. I called him Sean during the whole book.
And here's my thing. His dad's name was Big Red, right? The sire of Sean, the dog, the Irish Setter, was named Big Red, and then he was born also an Irish Setter. Someone named him Sean instead of Little Red, which would have made a lot more sense, and a bunch of 11-year-olds would have been saying Sean. Anyway, there you go.
Well, you know, the funny thing about that is he was like the second litter, and it was he talked about at one point from his little doggy point of view, because he was apparently very intelligent, about how there wasn't room in his owner's heart for three dogs, because he already had two, and so he like goes off in the wild with this other Irish Setter that he like kidnaps and impregnates. So.
That. There was date rape in Little Red. It was called Outlaw Red. Jim Cahilgard, yeah, get out there, because he was an outlaw. That's what Little Red was, Sean, the dog. And yeah, he did. He went out. There wasn't enough love in the heart of the man to have three dogs. Wow, nobody's seen Animal Hoarders in 1970, is what I think. It was a simpler time.
They come back and they like want to take the dog home. And I'm like, if I were the dog, I'd just be like, F you. Right? You didn't want me. I'm going to live out here in the wild with my wild puppies.
Like, I mean, my wild puppies. Yeah, the thing is the wild puppies, they were now purebred, amazing. Because what Outlaw Red did is he sprung his girlfriend from the breeding pen. I love the looks on your face. You're like, where is this available? I enjoy that look. They had anime in the 70s and they had manga in the 70s, right? Because the origin of manga is Japanese back in the ding-dong days, right? I mean, it's been around ever since the Japanese in the 70s as well. And the first anime ever shown in America, it was in 1965. And what was the name of that program, sir? Astro Boy. I think I've read that comic book. All right, talk to me. What do you know about Astro Boy?
I know its name and what it looks like.
And he is a real rocket boy, right?
And his first name is Astro and his last name is Boy. No, I don't know.
I've seen like a few of the old movies. And the movie that just came out, none of us have microphones. This is going to be the greatest episode of the Dork Forest ever. What we did is a group of like-minded individuals met in a Hilton in Dallas, and it's going to be great. Okay.
So what after Ranma and a half?
Well, after Ranma one half, my friend started watching this anime called Fushigi Yugi. Good luck. Yeah. So, which means the the mysterious play. My dad used to be like, Fushigi. And, oh my gosh, I was so enthralled with that anime. And so, for a birthday gift, my friend bought me the manga. And when I saw that, it was the most, like, beautifully drawn. Like, I had liked it up to that point, but Ranma One Half is very goofy. It's not, like, super, super detailed. This was just, like, you could see every strand of hair and every shiny in her eye. And the plot was amazing. It was, like, her best friend and her went in this amazing world in this book, and she meets all these hot dudes, and I was like, yeah, I'm into this. Where's this book? Where can I find this book?
The crazy thing is what I have heard about it. I have only read a very little of it, and so little of it, I don't have any names. But what I do love about it is that there's manga for children, And it goes all the way through. Like, there can be adventure manga, there can be sexy manga, there can be action-y manga, there can be romantic manga. It could be any genre.
And that's the amazing thing about manga, is it could literally be about anything. Like, I told somebody once, they're like, well, what do you mean it could be about anything? I'm like, some girl finally finds out that she's got great leadership skills when her friend accidentally registers her in the great water balloon fight of the century. And that would sell, because manga. I mean, just explain Ranma 1/2. Hello, because anime. Okay. So.
Yeah, it seems like because the different artists are so different that anybody can make all that stuff come to life, and it can be like animated furniture, and they can have their own life, or it can be children, or it can be
like germs or cells or something, and they're like all they've got like cute little anime faces, and they're just like these antibodies that live in your body.
Is there science? Are they teaching us science? I hope they're teaching us science. That'd be... Are there... Really? So some manga, is it... Now, was it science before they did it? Or they... I mean, were they... A little of both. Like in Star Trek, when they invented the doors that move at the grocery store, before there were doors that move at the grocery store. That was invented on Star Trek. And then someone said, well, that's easy to do. All you gotta do is step on a panel and then the things move. Anyway, so, that's cool. And then, so you have been, did you branch out, and are you now reading like a lot of titles, or are you, just watching, what are you doing?
Well, obviously now there's a huge, selection compared to when I was a teenager. I would go to my comic book shop, and of course, I grew up right outside of Washington, D.C., actually, okay. In Virginia, in the beautiful woodland hills of Virginia. I've been all over. Like, I was born in Florida, and then I lived in Tennessee, in the foothills of Tennessee, until I was like 10, and then I moved to Washington, D.C., and I was all like, hey, y'all, my name's Kristen McGuire, I'm from Tennessee. And then I had to lose that accent because I got beat up at school. Then I lived in Romania. Yeah, I had to stop talking like that. Then I lived in Romania my senior year of high school because my dad got transferred. And then I moved back.
CIA. Did he work for the CIA? State Department. Well, that's what they all say. Anyway, so the manga that you were had access to when you were younger was a lot less, is what you're saying. And then as you progressed, and did you take drawing classes and this type of thing, or have you just been self-taught?
Oh, yeah, we had an excellent art program at my school, because thankfully, the schools are really well-funded up there, and we were part of the IB program, and I took, like, the first year of art in high school, and I was already drawing. And then, like, I got skipped up to, like, advanced art. Like, I skipped over, like, two levels of art and got to do that. And we had a really great program, actually, in Romania, too, surprisingly enough. So I just got to continue it. And by my senior year, like, half of my day was just, like, different types of art classes. I was in heaven. I was like, yes, school rules!
Did you draw Draculas in Romania? What did you draw in Dracula in Romania?
Actually, our school mascot was a vampire, and I was like, oh wow, we're so original, vampire in Romania, blah 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 blah. Actually, when I watched the Twilight movie, like the second one, and the Romanians came through and they're like, we've been waiting a minute, I'm like, ooh, roar, they don't sound like that. Like, that is not a Romanian accent. I call foul. I can't stand it.
Your problem with the second Twilight movie was the accents of the Romanians? Just had to check in. Just had to double check there. Keep going.
Problem. That was it. I was like, and my husband will like tease me. Like, if it comes on TV, he'll send me a text. He's like, we have been waiting a millennia. I'm like, no, stop talking. I was like, maybe they sounded like that 1,000 millennia ago, but they don't sound like that now. I don't know.
There's a great book out, called Eiffelheim. Anyone ever read Eiffelheim? It is a science fiction, and it's one of those books where it's bookended, and it takes place in the super future. And in the super future, there's someone who's studying the Middle Ages and the Dark Ages and the Black Death. And there's also a woman, who is studying the physics of the future. But the entire movie takes place in a tiny town in Germany where, aliens, crash landed and had to join the Catholic Church.
church.
It was not a manga, but I digressed into something that was bookended and weird and Dracula-like. In my head, Eiffelheim, knock yourselves out. Hey, there's a... That is nice. You look nice out there. It's all working out for you. Good work. Hi! Nice wedding dress.
You look beautiful.
It's all good. It's very pretty. In other news, let's My Little Pony.
Well, I'm going to lead off with this excuse that I have two daughters, but what really happened was...
Safest space in the world. No excuse necessary. Fucking own the pony, love.
So what happened was I had the flu, and my daughter had to stay home with me that day because, like, her daycare was next to my... I worked in a daycare. I worked where she went to the daycare at. And it was, like, an hour away, so yeah. So I was like, oh, what can I do to entertain this kid? So I, like, turned on My Little Pony on Netflix because there was, like, already, like, two seasons of it. And then, of course, I'm all in trance, and I'm like, oh, wow. I was like, go for it.
It's because you love a tiny, adorable, pretty things. So why wouldn't you love My Little Pony? That makes perfect sense to me. Now, here's the thing. Is there a reboot of My Little Pony, or is there original My Little Pony? What have you seen?
This is a reboot, and I actually like it because there are times they actually make fun of the old My Little Pony, and they have a lot of adult references in it that, like, adults can understand. Like, they had, like, Star Trek references, and yeah, probably in Star Wars. Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of references, but one of my favorite scenes was Pinkie Pie is this, like, super excited party pony, and she clones herself, and they do this test to find out which one's the real Pinkie Pie, and they have to, like, not get distracted, which is impossible. And at one point, she looks at one of her clones, and she goes, "Want to see me make a really funny face?" And she turns, and she does, like, the old My Little Pony face, like the...
Oh, okay.
And I thought that was so funny. It was like, they just made fun of themselves.
It's very meta. That seems, it's much more funny. You know, I don't know if you ever saw, again, not manga related, not manga related, not even animated, High School Musical. I don't know if you've ever seen the movies, My High School Musical. I've seen all three of them, and there is no adult content. None. Zero. They don't kiss until the third movie. And what? I know, but remember Grease?
Disney, like they have.
They were so filthy. Yeah, but I like that. I like the idea that it is a little, because the only other animation I ever saw was the Animaniacs.
Animaniacs. Yes, it's time for Animaniacs.
All right,
come on, guys.
Yeah, that's all any of us know. The Animaniacs had adult content. There was a lot of "Hello, Nurse." Yes. Oh, yes, they had a lot of Clinton references. I mean, it was political. It was a lot smarter than it had to be because it was Spielberg, and it was before he went all maudlin and War Horse was created. But but it was still, remember, did you see? Anyway, no. Okay, so yeah, but I love the anime. I love the pigeons, the good feathers. The good feathers, that's a good time right there. Those guys are affecting some. Oh, the squirrel. Flap. Yes, Slappy. That was good. So, Pinky and the Brain, of course, was fine quality, animation. That was also lovely. What's the next manga you would like to suggest?
I'm trying to think of what I like anything by Svetlana Chimakova, if I'm even saying that right. I'm probably not. she's Russian Canadian, and she started out working for Tokyo Pop before, you know, the dust.
Okay.
and her first series was DramaCon, which was about this kid's first time selling at an anime convention.
Oh.
And it was very funny, and I loved it, and it was just very, everything I would want in a manga. So I would suggest anything by her. And she went on to do Night School, which was a little darker, but still very high quality. So
okay, so that might be good starter manga for me.
Yeah.
Now you. Okay, and you recommended something that sounds interesting to me, is rewritten fairy tales, like Princess of the Midnight Ball by Jessica Day George. Have we heard of that, ladies and gentlemen? Have we heard of it? There's some...
For you. All
right, talk, tell us. We need to know what to...
Okay, so the truth is that I'm just like five at heart, or sometimes I'm like a pre-teenager. So, of course, I read a lot of young adult, you know, novels, mostly young adult. Princess of the Midnight Ball is about the 12 dancing princesses. And it's about kind of like from the oldest princess's point of view. And basically, in the original story, it was like they just wanted to dance and, you know, it didn't really make much sense. This one goes like their mom wanted to get pregnant and she couldn't get pregnant. So she got this like dark wizard to like... give her a potion, but she kept having girls. And the reason was, is he had like 12 sons and he was getting brides for his sons and they were all cursed and they had to go dance. And if they didn't go dance, like the shadows would come up out of the ground and like try to come get them. And they had to like defeat him in the end. And I really enjoyed it. And it's actually got a lot of like German folklore in it and, knitting and things like that.
Wait, there's knitting?
Yes, the main, male character knits. And, of course, my first thought is like, a dude that knits? Like, really? But then, like, she goes on to explain that knitting was traditionally a male hobby because they had to knit their own socks in the military. Okay. And he actually, like, defeats this guy by, like, stabbing him with, like, silver knitting needles. And I'm like, yeah, go you! Way to use whatever's at your disposal.
Spoiler alert from the 1400s. Ancient... but here's... But of course, if they made that into a movie... those 12 sons would not have known about that plan, and they would have married those 12 girls. And then there would have been the longest parade of horse-drawn carriages ever, right?
Right. Except they were, like, evil, too. Oh, so, they yeah. Cool. They knew. They all knew, yeah. Well, actually, she did go on. She made two more books, and the second book was... based on kind of Cinderella. It was neat because they all had different folklore. They were the same sisters, but like the second one was about this witch that was trying to get back at this other kingdom, and one of the girls is betrothed to that kingdom. And she makes like these glass dancing slippers, but it's like hot melted glass, like physically on their feet. And then like their feet start turning to glass. Right? I mean, that's what I like it. It's... Right, I was all horror struck when there's just like, my feet are turning into glass. I was like, oh my god, like, that's horrible. I feel so bad for you. So, it, but of course, you know, like, they break the spell, yeah. Well, mission accomplished. I don't want my feet to turn into
glass. They were supposed to scare the crap. Yeah, they were, Grimm's fairy tales were all, were they all morality lessons from the Bible, or were they just in general, listen to your folks and... Some were just, okay. Oh, they just added to it like the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. 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 Oh, okay. So they were oral traditions that they wrote down. I'm just repeating this for the recording. And then, you mentioned the first horror story. What was the first horror story? Did you say something? Were they the first horror stories? The folklores were the first horror? Okay. Oh, right, right. The ghost stories to keep the kids at home. Yeah. Yeah, there will be a talking wolf. Okay, now you have other... Stranger danger. You know what? If you guys see something, say something. That's all I say. Okay, you have other authors here that I wish to hear about, that you also enjoy, because I've never heard of any of them, and I know I'm wrong. So, Gail Carson Levine.
Go. I'm surprised you haven't heard of her, because she's actually done a lot more work than any of the other authors on that list. Okay. Have you ever seen the movie Ella Enchanted? It's based off a book, which okay. She wrote. The book is, of course, completely different because, because of, you know, the industry. Yeah, because of Hollywood. But yeah, so she's got a couple of books like that. I haven't read all of them. It's weird because, like, I really enjoyed Ella Enchanted because, like I said, I'm like 12 and I'm like, yay, romance. And then, like, I read a different one that was, like, based on these gods, and it was, like, real dark and depressing. And I was like, I don't want to read you anymore, Gail Carson Levine.
She was all sad sack. And so, what about Kira Cass? Kira Cass.
She just wrote a trilogy called The Selection, and I saw the book like for the first time in Walmart, and I'd never heard of it, but I thought it sounded interesting. Walmart. And the idea is that it's like this dystopian society, and
I'm sorry, there's a dystopian society. It turns out, and I must quote, whenever dystopian science fiction comes up, I always have to quote my father, who's like, you keep reading those books about the dystopian future. Have you looked around? We live in a dystopian present. Do you realize what the dystopian future is going to be? Just like now. Your car is going to be 10 years old. But you're going to be fine. Anyway. So it's a dystopian future.
Right. And it's basically like Korea somehow like took over the U.S. And now America, which is no longer America, or it's not Korea. I don't know. It's Russia. I don't know. Some other country. I don't know. It started out as China and they got overthrown. They explained that at some point.
Koreans really stepped up their game.
Now America has a king and queen. It's a monarchy. They live in Los Angeles, I'm guessing, because the town's name is Angeles. And they have a prince. And to boost the morale of the country, when the prince is ready to marry, they have a selection. And all these girls apply to marry the prince. It's basically like The Bachelor in a dystopian society. But then it throws in like all these things like, there's different tiers of people, kind of like in the Hunger Games, you know, there was like 12 was like the poor district. Yeah. That's basically what this is. Like, whatever your grandfather was when they made this, that's what you have to be. So if your grandfather was an artist, you have to be an artist. Even if you suck at art, you have to do it. Like, because that's what's been deemed. And they just get poorer as they go down lower.
Right. And it makes it interesting. Cause what if, like, if your grandfather he shoveled sand for a living and you are the greatest artist in the world and you're like, well, I'll be shoveling sand for a living. That's interesting. That is weird. Okay. So how about the next one? Mercedes Lackey. That name actually sounds familiar.
But you haven't heard of Mercedes Lackey? Shame. She's a huge fantasy artist. Now, she actually does adult books, which is nice because sometimes there's some SEX, you know. She does a little bit of everything. My favorite stuff by her, of course, is the Heralds trilogy, which are about these, like, special white horses that are actually, like, divine beings with special powers. Okay. And they come and choose you at the right age and you become a herald, which is like this person that will only do good. And then you get like a special power, like mind speech, like you can talk to people in your mind, or a few people get like, they can set things on fire, but they usually have really tragic endings. So you don't really want that power. And I thought that was so neat. And of course, like Harry Potter and everything else. I'm like, when is my companion going to come find me and make me special?
When will I be stolen by the government and made to work out and turned into La Femme Nikita? When will it happen? When will it all come together? When I will have abs? Exactly. Right. Exactly. Your dad's of the State Department. Maybe he can help me out. And, sure. Okay. Now, I have heard of these two, but I don't know them. Rick Roy,
Percy Jackson.
Oh, Percy Jackson and the Olympians, Rick Riordan. I didn't read the books. I saw the movie. I saw the first one. The book's much, much better. Okay. A lot of nodding, some shaking of heads, some eh.
The movie's good if you haven't read the books.
Oh, okay. That's true of The Lord of the Rings. The movie is good if you haven't read the books. I recommend you read the books. I'm a bit of a Lord of the Rings nerd. It's true. If I forget about the books, I enjoy the movie because I enjoy things that blow up. And then a lot of sliding down mountains. I don't mind that. I'm in. How about Stephanie Myers?
Twilight.
Oh, the Twilight Lady. Yeah, I'm okay never reading that. I also didn't read I tried to read Game of Thrones. Did you read it or are you just watching it?
Okay, so I read it, but I read it like when I was in high school, and of course I was like 16, and I would like read like the first like two or three books, like I read every chapter, and then like the fourth book, I'm like, I don't really care about Sir Davos. What's going on in Arya's world? Yeah, so I would skim. So then like stuff happened in the show, and I'm like, did I skip that chapter? Like, I don't remember. Or worse, I was watching last week's episode. I don't want to spoil it if you haven't seen it. But I was like, I know this doesn't go well. I'm like, but I can't remember how it goes down. And then we're watching. I'm like, oh, God, I remember now.
Oh, the pain. What I am told is that, because this is what happened. I tried to read the first 120 pages twice. I tried to listen to it on Audible. And I tried to watch the television program. And I was reminded at every turn that everyone I liked was probably going to die. I was like, oh, that guy seems sane. They're going to kill him. That guy seems like he has his shit. No, that guy's dead. Yeah, that guy's, he's done. And, oh, that guy's gross and evil. No, he's going to make it. He's going to keep, it's like the Kardashians. It's like they never stop showing up. And I wish them nothing but the best, but I wish they would get off my television because I keep running into their pie holes saying something horrible. And, anyway, so, okay. Well, I like the idea of, all right, now, so, Sword Art Online. Talk to me about Sword Art. What is that? Is it what it says?
Well, I think it's a really cool show. Like, a lot of the, so much of the anime I watch now is based on who I know that's in it. Okay. Like, it starts out as support, and then I fall in love with it. Sword Art Online is your, I think it's kind of happened before, but it's this virtual reality game where they, like, completely go into the game, like, with their minds. They've got these helmets on. And, like, the guy that made it was like, you know, hoo-hoo-hoo, the joke's on you. You can't log out. And if you die in the game, you die in real life. And it's funny because, like, every promo is just, like, the voice actor Bryce, I think it's Peppenbrick. I probably said it wrong. Don't judge me. But it's all like, if I die in the game, I die in real life. And that's, like, that's every freaking promo.
I really wanted it to just be that you were constantly online looking at sword art. Just looking at different... Yeah? There's an episode of him just going to different sword shops?
And then he's
got to
go get the materials.
Oh, and he's got to get the materials. That is hilarious. Here's... Oh, things... People get in the way. What's the big debate? Log Horizon. Okay. Yep. Sword. Yep. They're very, well, of course they're very different shows. One's about logs and the other one's about swords. What was your comment? What is a log horizon? People trapped in a virtual world. That, it seems like a, okay, it's got sort of a bigger picture, and then the sword one is, you think, a real more basic. Okay. And that is the argument. Yes. Right. Okay. You like both of them? It turns out... You enjoy both of them? One of my brothers has constantly said to me that I will watch a test pattern if the colors change often enough. So I would probably like both of them. And, my friend is Naruto. She does the voice of Naruto. And, I tried to watch a lot of that and I couldn't do it. I understand it's excellent. In other news, it's a lot like Dragon Ball Z, right? It's, no? There's a lot, I mean, there are cool, there are cool. Oh, the manga's great? Cause, well, I mean, I thought that there were some great storylines about sort of friendship and stuff in Naruto. But it was... It's about being accepted into a community? For reasons that aren't your fault. Ninetales demon? Okay. No, 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 everybody, he just wants to eat a lot of lunch, that guy, and in Dragon Ball Z. Well, I think, do you know what? I think because there's a lot of fighting in the sky. Maybe that's what did it. There's a lot of hanging in the sky, growling at each other. But there, maybe I need, okay, so maybe I need to watch. So should I go back and start Naruto? Okay. Oh, and you guys are reading the manga. Okay, so I'm just trying to watch the TV show, and it's and so possibly I should be reading the manga. And should I start at the beginning of Naruto? Okay. In the future, and he's a grown adult, or okay. Okay, because of the demon. They won't even talk to him. It's like the Amish, yes. You can't even sit and break bread, yes? Bleach, Fairy Tail, Naruto, One Piece. Okay. Oh, hundreds and hundreds of volumes? Okay, so to catch up. Died of old age? Oh.
I feel so bad.
Okay.
I couldn't even do six chapters of my comic before I was like, I am so done with you. Like, I am over you. It's time to move on to somebody else. Our relationship is done. Like, and these are like six, like 25 page comics.
So it's like a giant hardcover omnibus kind of thing, like Sandman or something like that. So they're $100 each in the. Yeah, this thing is just right, something insane, just dozens and dozens of them, and you're like, I'm not prepared to devote. I can't even finish The Wire, which is a television program that's only 300 episodes. Right. That's why I think I was about a dozen or so in, and then I just called. I thought about calling my friend and say, how's it going? How's Naruto? And she's like, well, I'm still getting scale for doing the voices for Naruto. I'd like to get a union. Anyway, so she would like a raise.
I don't know how it works for her. Like, at Funimation, you get paid for how much time you're in the booth. So, you know, 500 episodes of being the main character.
Right.
You know.
I think she did. I think she bought land, but I don't think like she bought a lot of land. I think it's a small house in Van Nuys, so which is a small. Anyway, I'll be over here. Right. It's not like The Simpsons, which is union, and then those guys get to buy small cities. And all right, okay. So what animation on before? Let's make sure, by the way, that we talk about ChrisComics.com and your books. Okay. And so Kristen McGuire here is going to tell you about what you've written, so that people might get out there and check it out.
Some of you may already have, because I recognize some of your faces. Anyway, so I wrote a series called Enchanted, which is about a girl that moves to a new city and accidentally stumbles upon an ancient war between unicorns and dragons in the local city park. Yes. It happens to the best of us. You know, you go to get your change of address form. Oh, there's an ancient war between mythological creatures. My bad. So I started the series I started writing it in 2006 and I started publishing it. I finished the first chapter in 2007 and I professionally published it in 2008. by myself. Yay! I submitted it to Tokyo Pop, and I got a very nice rejection letter about it that actually used my name and everything, so it wasn't just like a form one. And I was like, oh, I'm so sad. And then they went under, and I was like, oh, good for me. I think I'll just self-publish. And I actually just finished the latest chapter, and it's here tonight. In my room.
Please do not follow her up to her room.
Do not. My dad taught me a lot of interesting things about self-defense because he's in the State Department.
He has dossiers on all six of you. Here's the thing.
Anyway, so I concluded, and that was really exciting. And then I also did a one-shot, which means it's self-contained, of a comic called A Day in the Life of a Cat Girl for no other reason than I wanted to draw a cat girl. I thought they're cute. I like it. But I had no idea. I was like, what am I going to draw? Like, I don't want another long series. I just want like one comic book. And I was like, I'll just draw what her day is like. And she's got like a, you know, a cat personality. Like she steps out in the sunbeam and she like falls flat on her face and falls asleep for like 2 hours. And she wakes up and she's like, what happened? Like, oh yeah, I was going to the store. And like this dog chases her and, you know, she just talks about, like, of course she's a cat, so her life is awful, and everybody hates her, and is beneath her. And then, you know, at the end, she finds this really cute cat boy, and suddenly her tune changes, and she's like, that's not so bad, you know.
And that's why Solzhenitsyn wrote A Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich. He just wanted to know what Ivan Denisovich was doing in the 30s up in Siberia. And so he said to himself, I don't want to do a whole long series about Ivan Denisovich. What's one day in the gulag? What's one day like? And he met a really nice boy in the gulag. No, anyway, he didn't. He didn't. It would have been awesome if he had. but here's the scoop. Everybody, it has been, it's just shy of an hour, but, what you should know is that there's going to be another episode of The Dork Forest in this very room tomorrow at 8:45, 15 minutes later, making it even harder for anyone to find me. Anyway, but that is with, a lovely lady named Helen McCarthy. She is a very nice lady who I said to last year, we were talking about reading books, and I said, I really like Georgette Heyer. And there was a pause, and I said, you know, Georgette Heyer, she's like the poor man's Jane Austen. And I wasn't talking to her. She whipped around, and she said, Georgette Heyer is the poor man's no one. And then I was like, oh, well, we will be discussing, anime and, possibly Georgette Heyer on The Dork Forest. And because she writes academic anime books, right? To your knowledge? Yeah. She writes, she is a historian of anime. And so she will be here tomorrow night doing that. And then Saturday night, in the night, at like midnight, 11:45, another weird time, Saturday night, I will be doing stand-up comedy. I will be telling jokes out of this joke hole, into the world. And, you could come and hear my Dune joke. No, I don't have a Dune. I wish I had a Dune joke. Now I must come up with a Dune joke. Please come. It's a dry humor. Ladies and gentlemen, the comedy is everywhere, and it's a beautiful thing. And I did bring Dork Forest t-shirts if you guys want to get them. I also brought my new CD and my new DVD, which is called This Will Make an Excellent Horcrux. Because my soul is in it. Anyway, Akon, I'm excited to be here. This is day one of Akon, and I thank you so much. Day zero of Akon. I thank you so much for coming out to support a live Dork Forest. Take care out there, and maybe I'll see you tomorrow night.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?